was a better person than I knew I was.
Welcome back to the cabin. I'm Pat Kreitlow along with Kirk Bangstad. Kristen Bry is off this week, and we are in the midst of discussing the benefits of passing a real infrastructure bill and what it would mean up north and throughout Wisconsin and other places. And, you know, Kirk, you even look at a place like Nicolet College up north and the significance of that, as well as other education, but that's one that you wanted to hone in on.
Yeah, so, you know, Nicolet College is in Rhinelander, and, you know, a lot of people, when they think about infrastructure, don't necessarily think about schools. But you know, we had a huge issue with schools in up north. You know, A, you need to have broadband in order to do online schooling. And you know, B, you know, there's tons of safety issues with old facilities like asbestos, and you know, you can't have great filtration systems when you've got a virus passing around. So a lot of the Biden plan is saying that we're going to upgrade, you know, like schools in order to do that, but there's so much more we could do with places like Nicolet College. You know, we're a tourism community. You know, we could potentially be more than a tourism community if we actually had broadband, but we don't. But right now, people still come up to the Northwoods to, you know, to stay in cabins, to eat at restaurants, to go fishing. And so what I want to see happen is more of an investment in Nicolet College. Make it an actual destination college as opposed to like a stepping stone for like a four-year UW. You know, let's get an actual a culinary program in there. Let's get a restaurant hotel management program at Nicolet College, because that's what we got. We got tourism. Right now, it's really underfunded. It's really small. And as a brew pub owner, I was desperate for people that knew how to cook food, that were professionally trained. And we couldn't find them. We had to go to UW Stout in order to do that. So a lot of this infrastructure stuff, I think, should, you know, If Wisconsin legislature is not going to do it, let's get some federal dollars and beef up Nicolet College and some of the colleges up in the North Woods.
And so really, when you talk about infrastructure, you're talking about two things: jobs now, jobs later. You know, the jobs now go into those upgrades, whether it's roads and bridges, whether it's schools that have everything from old technology to HVAC systems and roofs, you know, that are leaking and falling apart. You have those jobs now. You then create the jobs by churning out, you know, better students, by having more commerce come in and use the roads or use the broadband, get more products to market, as the case may be. And then you have the savings. You know, the stimulus bill the first time around in 2007, you know, has created so many jobs in the green energy sector that it just boggles the imagination that we would want to stand in the way of that. Now, there is a fair debate to be held on where you draw that imaginary line that, well, this much we don't think we can afford. But if you sell it short, you know, you're selling the future short in the jobs that you're not creating now and the jobs you're not creating later and the money you're not saving later. Now, back to roads for a second. You know, as of February, The Wisconsin Department of Transportation has four major highway studies in progress, 19 projects. That's all, just that alone is thousands of jobs and all the economic growth spillover. And over at Up North News, we are going to have a story later from Jonathan Sadowski, whom we heard from earlier. And one of the folks he talked to was Mark Gottlieb, who was Scott Walker's transportation secretary, but who resigned because he was upset that Walker was refusing to support increased road spending. And Kirk, you remember the billboards about Scott holes. I mean, nothing, taking away nothing from Tony Evers or a whole lot of other things, but I'm telling you, campaigns are run on bread and butter issues. And when people associated potholes with what Scott Walker was not doing to invest in the infrastructure of Wisconsin, I'm convinced Scott Holes is what got him out of there as much as anything else.
Yeah, it's like starving government and misinformation is like that's their bread and butter. And it's like you can't starve government to the point where our roads turn to dust. And, you know, I always hate driving through Indiana, you know, because Illinois is decent. Then, you know, and you're trying to get to Ohio, which is decent. Indiana, you're just rocking back and forth. And that's what Wisconsin turned into. And I grew up we had great roads here. And so there's a study, the American Society of Civil Engineers gave Wisconsin a rating of a D+, like A through F. They gave us a D+ for roads since Walker took office. And now Evers tried to fix that by raising the gas tax in this last session because we need more money to fix what's happened to us. And guess what? The Republican legislature didn't even think about it. Now, nobody wants to raise taxes, but geez Louise, like, we can't just be bouncing around on these roads in Wisconsin. We got to get back to, you know, being proud of our state, you know, especially for the roads category.
So we'll continue to follow that, you know, as it moves through Congress, but also what the elected representatives are saying. A lot of the things they're saying are predictable, but we're looking for those surprises. We're looking for signs of actual recognition of what it would mean to this part of the state. Let's cover a couple of final stories in the time that we have left. First off, on the vaccine. Great progress here. By the time you hear this, something like 40% of the Wisconsin population will have received one or more doses, and more than 25% of the state now is fully vaccinated. And that's great, but again, the job is not even half done yet. And to reflect the seriousness of it, at least 2 days in a row this week, Tuesday and Wednesday, the Department of Health Services reported more than 900 new coronavirus cases each day, something that we hadn't seen in a couple of months, and still seeing, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 deaths a day. And the Wisconsin Hospital Association is showing again an increase in the number of inpatients. And we saw how bad that could get, Kirk. And so we can't possibly say enough the importance of still wearing those masks and keeping your distance from folks.
We don't want to talk about this Supreme Court decision that just said that we don't need to limit capacity in restaurants and bars. We probably don't have enough time for that, do we?
Just ridiculous. Well, not that we're now doing live radio where you would swear if we did that. And we can't do that anymore because Devil Radio was nice enough to give us a broadcast
home. When did the Supreme Court and the Republican legislature want to actually kill people? Like, when did that decision start, you know, taking place? Because seemingly that's not quite what you'll get into government to do.
Right. And that's where, again, you know, Representative Jody Emerson earlier was chiding Assembly Speaker Robin Voss about, you know, what is it that does he want to be a doctor? Because we know medically what prevents the pandemic from getting worse. And yet you have a conservative majority in the state Supreme Court this week throwing out the capacity limits. And now Ann Walsh Bradley, one of the progressive justices, you know, wrote in the dissent about how a pandemic is not the time to go through the complicated rulemaking process. This isn't about rulemaking. This is about making decisions right now, because people are dying and we know how to prevent that. Capacity limits is one of those things, along with face masks and such. And again, getting vaccinated. So as we turn back to the vaccine, I just want to put in, this is my own personal pitch about the Johnson & Johnson setback with the rare instances of blood clotting that are happening. Has happened to 6 people out of 7 million doses. Okay, that's less than 1 in a million chance from the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. None of those cases in Wisconsin. Compare that to, say, birth control pills, where the risk of blood clots is 1 in 1,000. And yet you don't see, you know, a hullabaloo about that. And think about this. If you get COVID, your chances of getting blood clots are about 21% based on studies. If you end up in the ICU, a 1 in 3 chance probably that you end up getting blood clots. So getting COVID is a lot worse than the infinitesimally small risk of a complication by getting the vaccine. You know, I mean, come on, you get blood clots if you, you know, sit on a long distance flight, you know, going to Australia or Costa Rica, as the case may be, smoking, obesity. So just put that in perspective when you're considering, you know, about finally getting in line and getting that shot. Kirk, I didn't even ask you, are you got one done, two done, none done? What? Where are you?
I have one done, and I am getting my other one tomorrow. And then, so I think 2 weeks from now, I should be, you know, at 95%, you know, good for not getting the virus. So I'll be happy. But you know what? It still feels weird. I mean, I still want to wear my mask. I want to, you know,
yes,
and
you should.
I think it's worthy to wear your mask. Right. And I don't think it's, you know, even if I don't have to wear one in 2 weeks, I'm still gonna, because you just want to be respectful for people and you want to make people safe. And so it still makes sense to wear a mask.
All right. Well, we've got time for one more story here. And this is my favorite one that I've been saving up for the week. Kirk, you watched Roadrunner cartoons as a kid, the coyote and the Roadrunner. We really had an example of that this week in Madison when Assembly Speaker Robin Voss was basically holding hostage $50 million a month in federal food share benefits because of the Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court, striking down the, you know, the emergency order from Governor Evers. Without that emergency declaration, Wisconsin no longer qualified for tens of millions of dollars in supplemental food aid that struggling families needed. And so Robin Voss was asked about that, and his answer was, well, we put a declaration in Assembly Bill 1, but the governor vetoed it. Well, yeah, he vetoed it because it contained all these other poison pills where, again, Robin Voss wanted to run the school board. The Republicans wanted to run the local health departments. It put on all these restrictions on the people who are trying to keep us safe. So he was insisting that the Democrats should join to override the veto. Well, instead, what happened was Governor Evers and Health Services Secretary Karen Timberlake basically went to the Biden administration and put out a new declaration that didn't include the face mask requirement. And as a result, Wisconsin once again qualifies for the aid without having to go through the rigmarole of Robin Voss's demands. And so all I could think of was Robin Voss is the coyote trying to pull that catapult and having it flip over on him instead of hitting Governor Evers as he goes zipping by. That's the time we have to be at the cabin up north. Kirk, thanks so much for your time. You guys have a great rest of your week. And Kristen will be here and join us next week here up north. Won't you let me die happy?